So tonight we're starting a new series. We finished our Ohana series. We did. Last week was the end of the Ohana series. And so we're in a new series. Now it's February. It's the season of love. That's correct. It's also Black History Month. That's true. So when it's February and it's Valentine's Day, what do a lot of preachers preach on? Love and dating and relationships and all that good stuff. Last year, I listened to three or four different sermons via podcast every week from churches all around America. And I listened to four each week, and three of them did sermons on dating and relationships and marriage last year around this time, which is kind of depressing for a single guy because it's like, that's great advice. I can't freaking wait to use it. It's going to be awesome. But not using it just yet. Well, tonight I'm starting a series that is not about love. It's not about relationships. It's not about dating. Because some of you may know this, if you've been in a relationship, before any relationship can be successful, both people in the relationship have to know who they are. So we're starting a series that's kind of a precursor to relationships. It's called Who Are You? Okay, we're going to be talking about our identity in life and in Christ and all kind of different ways. Okay, we're going to come at this question from several different ways over the course of the next few weeks. Sometimes when I start a series, I've already got all the messages planned out. For Ohana, I knew before we did the first one what the four subjects were going to be. This time, I do not. I'll be honest with you. I've got some ideas. I've got several thoughts in my head as far as where I'm going to go with this, but I had not planned them out ahead of time. It may go 4 weeks. It may go longer. We'll definitely go longer than 4 weeks because Pastor Todd will be here on the fourth week of this month. And it will definitely go past when he is here. But we're going to ask about our identity tonight. Now, when you meet somebody, the first thing you do is tell them your name. Yes, generally, right? Say, hi, I'm Tony, whatever. Juan, okay. I don't think so, Tate. But how many of you guys? Now, the question is, though, what is the next thing you tell somebody after your name? Okay, your age, your nickname, what's your nickname? Con, okay, so you just go by your last name, okay. Anybody else? What else do you tell them immediately after that? Your interests, what you like to do, what did you say, Tate? Okay, I guess that depends who you're talking to. Where you go to school, maybe? Yes, Draven? Thank you, his online dating profile. He gives them that little outline, you know. If you're Taylor and Sean, you play songs for them. That's right. Maybe if you're an athlete, the first thing you do when you meet somebody out, like if, say, a new person comes in, and the first thing you meet them at practice, what's the first thing you ask them? What position do you play? Yeah, that's where I was going, okay? So, yeah, if you're an athlete, you might say, hey, what position? Because you're trying to figure out, is this person going to try and take my job, right? Is this person trying to take my spot on the team? Okay, when you get to college, and I know none of you are there yet, but when you get to college, the first thing you ask everybody is, what's your major? Right, hey, I'm Tony, what's your major? Okay, so that's, when you get to college, that's the first thing. Then once you get out of college, it becomes, where do you work? Right, well, you know, where do you work? For me, you know, that's the first thing. Hey, what do you do? What's your job? That's a big one. At any point in life, depending on who you meet, sometimes you're defined by your parents. Okay, like, for example, when I was in college, I had moved. Tallahassee's in the north part of Florida, and my dad was from Miami, which is far south Florida, and Tampa's kind of right in the middle, so I moved to Tallahassee, and the youth pastor at the church I started attending in college had been the youth pastor before that at my grandmother's church in Miami. And so immediately to him, I was, oh, you're Donna's son, okay, or your grandson. You know, you're Donna Ambrose's grandson. Yeah, and I knew a lot of people that knew me in Florida as Larry's son, okay. You're Pastor Larry's son. Yeah, that's me. I can't deny it. We look too much alike. So you might be defined as that. When I first moved out here, one of the things that defined me, and is less so now, but is, hey, I'm the guy from Florida, right? I'm the guy who's not from here. Bia understands this, okay? Bia is our foreign exchange student. She's from Sweden, and so she knows right where I'm coming from on that. So many of you guys have lived here your whole lives, and so this doesn't make any sense to you, this part, but trust me, it's true for some of us. And then if you're really something special, you got a really cool definition like in history. What was Alexander's? The Great. That's a cool definition. I want to be called Tony the Great one day. That would make me happy. No. Taylor's like, not ever going to happen. Never going to happen. I did get, Tony's musically talented, I take that too. I did get referred to as Moses a few weeks back at the lock-in deal at the skating rink, but okay. Because I was trying to get everybody's attention, yeah. Yeah, okay, so some of you, your friends know you by your Twitter handle, okay? Some of you, like, maybe. I know when Tyler went into the game last night, the whole student section, and they all went, tea time. It's really cool. So that these are all things that define us in our world. These are all ways by which we identify ourselves. But tonight we're going to look at one of the things the Bible says about us, and we're going to get right into one of my favorite verses. It's where we get the name of our youth group, 1 Peter 2:9. Our youth group is called Chosen Generation, and the reason we are called that is because 1 Peter 2:9 says this: "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." That's KJV. It's one of the few verses that I tend to read in KJV. But that's where we get our name from, Chosen Generation. That is what identifies our youth group, okay? We got the T-shirts that some of you guys have. And, you know, we got a little logo. And Wes is wearing the T-shirt right now. So, by the way, we have those. If anybody wants them, come talk to me. I've got some for you. But in this case, we're going to get into this now. We're going to take each little section, each little definer, one at a time here. Y'all know I like to look up definitions. So I looked up the Oxford definition of chosen. Okay, chosen. I'm looking up the Oxford definition of chosen. And the Oxford definition is having been selected as the best or most appropriate. So this tells us right now, Peter is writing to the church and he says, you have been selected. Because you chose to love Jesus and to believe in Jesus, you are selected for a purpose. Now, if you're like me, being selected kind of can bring up some memories that aren't always the greatest. You see, I'm not the most athletic kid in the world. I'm actually more athletic than I look. I've got good hand-eye coordination, so I'm better at sports than people think I am. But then I look like I should be. But I'm not a wonderful athlete, and I can admit that. So I wasn't usually picked early on in that, you know, in that discussion of, okay, we're picking teams. Not always the case. Even today, sometimes, you know, if I'm playing whatever, basketball with some friends, not uncommon for me to go later in the draft, okay? Now I've come to realize that, and I'm okay with it, and that's okay, because it just gives me a chance. You know, I got the Tom Brady chip on my shoulder. I'm just going to show you how good I am not, but that's okay anyways. Okay, so you've been chosen, and you weren't chosen last, okay? You got to know that. When we love Jesus, he immediately, you know, chooses us. He didn't wait for us. He loves us anyways. He didn't wait for us to love him, which I'm going to get to in a second, okay? In the book of Esther, how many of you guys know about Esther? A few of you know about Esther. Okay, Esther is a Jewish girl, but she's living in the time when many of the Jewish people were in captivity, and she's living in Persia, and no, not the Holocaust. This is Bible times, bro. Okay, she's living in Persia, and the king of Persia, he's a wicked dude, and I'm not going to get into all this stuff, but he chooses her to be one of his many wives. Okay, he probably had a harem of wives. He's a wife, so she's the best wife, so she's the queen, but she doesn't even see the guy that often. Well, his vice president guy decides to kill all the Jews, where the king doesn't know that she's Jewish, and her uncle says to her, they're having this conversation about maybe you can help, maybe you can stop this murder of your entire people. And Mordecai says to Esther, who knows, maybe you were made a queen for just such a time of this. See, she was put on the earth for that time. And just like that, you have been chosen to be here today for a reason. God has put you here for a reason. Now, moving on to the second one. You are a chosen generation. You're also a royal priesthood. Okay, now when we think of royalty, you know, we got Kate and William. Is it William and Kate? Okay, Harry's the younger one that's always getting drunk in Vegas and stuff. But he's the crazy one. But that's what we think of when we think of royalty. We think of an old person that doesn't do anything, right? At least that's what I think of. I'm like, oh, the British royalty. They put them on TV every once in a while, and they don't accomplish anything as far as I can tell. But royalty means that you have a share in the kingdom. That means you have an inheritance in the kingdom. Some of us, we all come from different places and from different situations in life, but no matter what situation, no matter what our family is like, as royalty, as sons of the king and daughters of the king, we have an inheritance in the kingdom of God, which is an incredible kingdom. It's the best kingdom. Now, here's one I'm going to focus on a little bit. A holy nation. Okay, you are a holy nation. And then Oxford, don't go there yet, Wes. In Oxford, it says holy means dedicated or consecrated to God or a religious purpose or sacred. Okay? In the Greek, which the New Testament was written in Greek, I don't know if you know this, but in the Greek, the word is hagion, and it means set apart. You've heard me talk about that before, being set apart. Okay? In Romans 12, Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. But the part I want to focus on tonight is that first part. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. If you are exactly like the world, then you are not being set apart as you are called to be, as Jesus has made you to be set apart. See, we're reading through Leviticus in the Eat This book right now. And Leviticus is weird because it talks about, I've probably told you guys this story, but when I was at camp, when I was in, I don't know, middle school or something like that, my youth pastor was tired because we wouldn't go to sleep. He said, guys, if you don't go to sleep, I'm going to read Leviticus to you guys. I'm going to read it, and it's boring. You guys are not going to like it. And like the first chapter is about, and you should slaughter the goat, and you should tear the goat apart and put it on the altar. And we're all middle school guys, so we're like, yeah, get the goat. You know, we all thought it was awesome because anytime you're killing animals, that's awesome. So, you know, we're trying to figure out how we can cook it. But so it didn't work. But Leviticus, say what? You calling PETA? Go for it. I don't care. There's a place on God's earth for all of his animals. It's right next to the mashed potatoes. All right. But Leviticus is all about the reason Leviticus is there, because this is before Jesus showed up. And so in order to set themselves apart, the people who believed in God and who loved God, in order to set themselves apart from everybody else, they did all these things in Leviticus. They followed the law was so that people would recognize them and they would be set apart from everybody else so that they would know, hey, yeah, those are the people that loved God. Those are the people that are following God's will. The rest of us, we think we're smart enough on our own, but the people who loved God were set apart, and so they followed all these laws. And today we don't have all those laws, but at the same time we should be set apart. We should not be the same as what everybody around us looks like, which leads us into the fourth point, which is my favorite line. And again, this is where our shirt comes from. It's, you are a peculiar people. The Oxford definition of peculiar is different to what is normal or expected. Strange. How many of you guys have ever been called strange? I've been called strange. That's, yeah, daily basis for some of us. But when I was in high school and I was wearing, like in the last series, some of y'all noticed that I wore like Hawaiian shirts to kind of go with the theme. When I was in high school, that was like my daily attire. I kid you not. I wore Hawaiian shirts like 3 days a week. Hawaiian shirt and khaki shorts and sandals. Like I looked like a tourist all the time living in Florida. But even in the winter, I'd throw on like jeans and shoes and a Hawaiian shirt, and I would work it. And that was just because it's what I wore. I actually got that, and I wasn't working it. No, you weren't working it. But I actually got that because of my youth pastor when I was growing up. He wore Hawaiian shirts all the time. And so that's kind of where I got started on the Hawaiian shirt thing. But no, so I was strange. I'll admit it. I was strange. Okay? I was also the kid who, like my senior year, I was in 7 different musical ensembles. So for most of the school, I was the music nerd. That's what they thought. Oh, yeah, that's that kid who's in all the music. He plays all of the music. And that's all he does because I didn't play any sports. I was in, like, the Young Republicans Club, I think. And that was, like, the only other club I was in besides the Music Honor Society. Okay, I was a music nerd. That's what set me apart. I was peculiar. And I've always taken some pride in that because I think it's boring to be just like everybody else. But that's part of the reason this verse has always been one of my favorites, because it calls us weird. We should not be just like everybody else, and this goes right back to being holy and being set apart. We should be different. We should not be just like everybody else. We ought to be a little bit strange. People ought to go, hey, that guy's not quite like me, okay? In our actions, in the way we speak, in the way we treat other people, if we're just like everybody else, we're not doing what God has called us to do. I've heard it said this way. You may have heard this. It says, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would people know that you are someone who loves Jesus? Or would they go, really? I didn't even know that. I couldn't even tell that guy was called himself a Christian. We need to know this. We need to be thinking about this because that's what we're called to do. Now, the reason for all of these things, this verse also gives us the reason why we are all these things. Why were we chosen? Why did God make us royal? Why are we set apart? Why should we be weird? And that is to show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Okay, going back to just what we just talked about, people ought to be able to tell. We ought to be showing something different. They ought to be able to see who we are in Jesus. And they ought to be able to see that we are a part of something different. We are a part of the family of God. We are a part of this other group. We are not like everybody else. And even though sometimes it feels like you may be the only one in your class or on your team or in your school or whatever, you should be that one. You should be set apart. You should be showing that. You see, here's the thing. Jesus is free to everybody. And we are giving away this product as Christians. We want to share that with everybody else. It's a free product, and it's the best product in the world, but we can't give it to them unless they see that in us, okay? We just had the Super Bowl, right? And some of you guys, we were talking earlier about the different commercials. Which ones popped to mind immediately? The creepy GoDaddy one, yes. The geek and the chick. The farmer one, the Dodge Ram farmer one that was forever long with Paul Harvey, yes. The Taco Bell old people partying. That one was awesome. That one cracked me up. Which one? The Clydesdale, the Budweiser Clydesdale. That was a big one. Okay, yes, ma'am. The Samsung Galaxy with Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen. That one was good. And then LeBron James showed up at the end in a cameo. That one was funny. The Star Trek promo, okay? Maybe you saw the one for the new Fast 6, yeah. Which I'm not going to lie, seeing that made me want to go back and watch all five of the other ones. I like that. May happen in the next few weeks. I may just sit down and spend 10 hours watching all of them. The Silent Library fighting, the Oreo one was funny. It was a ripoff of the other guys. I don't remember that, but... Oh, yes, I do, the funeral. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, all these things now. Here's the thing. The reason those commercials were shown then... And those commercials worked. The other ones didn't work. You know why I know? Because I don't remember them. That's right. None of us are talking about them. So we ought to be the same way, not saying we need to do any of the stuff that was in those. So don't hear me saying that. Don't go GoDaddy on it, okay? That's not the whole point here. And don't be destroying any libraries or none of that stuff. But the reason those commercials were done the way they were so that people would remember that and they would be noticed. In the same way, we are called to show forth what God has done in us. If we're not showing what God has done in us to everybody else, then we're not doing our job. We're not fulfilling the call. We're not fulfilling our identity in Christ. We are not doing what God put us here to do. So tonight, that's the challenge, that's the question, is number one, do you really believe that you were chosen and that you have royalty in Christ and that you are set apart and that you should be a little bit strange, but the biggest part of the challenge tonight is are you showing it? When people walk by you in the halls, do they know that you're a Christian? Do they know that you love Jesus, or are you just another person who's not particularly indistinguishable from the rest of the crowd? Are you guys doing what it requires to show forth what God has done for you? It's a question we all have to ask. You guys have more opportunity than I do. I hang out with Pastor and Manon all the time. Okay, that's who I'm here most of the time with during the day. Not like our I'm here a lot and I'm with those people a lot. And that's cool. They're awesome. I love my job. I love getting to spend time with them and talk to them and all that stuff. But when I'm in those situations, when I'm out playing with the OC band or whatever, that kind of stuff, do people notice anything about me? I have to ask that besides my goofy attire. Maybe. I hope so. I hope I'm doing a good job of that. If I'm not, then that's something I have to seek God's face in myself. I have to work that out with God. But I encourage you guys to do the same thing, to make sure that you're not just doing what everybody else does, but that you are showing what God has done in you in a real way. I know I've seen some of you guys get impacted by God. I saw you at camp, and I know that some of you have had a genuine face-to-face experience with God, but if that's not showing in your life, if you're not acting any differently because of it, then we have an issue. I encourage you guys, be the difference. Be showing something different than what everybody else is. Be different. Be a little strange. Nothing wrong with strange. Some would argue with that. I don't. I always considered strange to be kind of a badge of honor. But I encourage you guys, be different. Stay peculiar, like the shirt says, like our shirts say. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this group that's here. I thank you for, God, for calling each of them out into a life with you, Lord, and for loving them and for dying for us. God, I thank you that you did that. God, I pray that we would be different, Lord, that we would show to those around us what you've done in us, that we would not be just like everybody else, but that they would see a difference in us and in the way we act as compared to the way everybody else acts, that we would show the love of Jesus, that we would represent Jesus well in the world. God, I pray right now that you would, God, just again, continue to be with those who are sick or injured or whatever else, Lord, those who are dealing with things. God, that they would be a light in those situations, that in those situations they might be the only person who's acting in a reasonable way, and it's because of you, Lord, that when everything else seems to be crashing around us, Lord, that we can be the representative of Jesus in those situations. We might be the only one behaving like that, but Lord, that's what you've called us to be. You've called us to be peculiar. You've called us to be set apart from the world and from those that don't know you. And so tonight I pray that you would give us the strength to do that, that you would give us wisdom in every situation, and that you would just continue to draw us closer to you, God, in everything that we do. We love you. We thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.